What do mermaids from Barcelona and Merce Cunningham have in common? That's what I tried to figure out this week on the drive home. I went to see an experimental dance show at Red Cat called Performance. Yeah, it was just called Performance. Choreographer Rashawn Mitchell and singer-songwriter Stephen Merritt joined forces with set designer Ali Nashki-Messing to create a whimsical evening of song and dance. Dancers Corey Krej and Silas Reiner and Hiroki Ichino's also performed. So what brings Mitchell and Merritt together? They seem to be from two different worlds. Merritt is the frontman for pop indie group The Magnetic Fields. He's best known as a wordsmith, who combines his witty wordplay with lo-fi musical mixes. Mitchell is a contemporary dancer and choreographer. He used to dance in Merce Cunningham's company. He now frequently collaborates with his partner and Merce Cunningham alum, Silas Reiner, on dance projects. By the end of Performance, I discovered that Mer people and Merce Cunningham actually do have a lot in common, thanks to my guest, Elizabeth Nonemaker. She's a musician, composer, and a friend of mine at USC. She also happens to love Stephen Merritt's music. On the drive home, we talked about the relationship between Merritt's music and Mitchell's dancing, and what it's got to do with mermaids and Merce Cunningham.
To know, Elizabeth, from a music perspective, since this is that's your area of expertise, like what was your sort of feeling or assessment of this performance?
So we were mentioning this before, so you were attracted to the dancers, and like I'm very unfamiliar with the dance world, but Stephen Merritt I know about and am a fan of because of his work with Magnetic Fields and Future Bible Heroes, and he writes these songs that should be bad, but aren't. They come across as what they are, which is like a guy recording them in his apartment, and like they're usually very simple. They have like kind of like what is it, like blunt but inelegant lyrics, but they're like very touching at the same time. I thought it was really I was interested in watching that people could even dance to it in the first place. Like, it's his celebrity. I was like, I didn't know that he was doing collaborations.
Yeah.
Things like that. So I'd be very interested in seeing that.
I think this was an interesting collaboration to watch, to see these two modern dancers combine forces with Stephen Merritt. Because, I mean, in the contemporary dance world, like, you wouldn't think of Stephen Merritt as the first person to, like, you know, make music for your dance.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It was such an interesting choice for them to, like, collaborate with him, and I'm really curious like how that collaboration came about and why did they decide to like use this sort of quirky eccentric love ballad ukulele music and with Stephen Merritt's like bass like voice. You know, it's just like, where did this collaboration come from? It's just like, I don't know,
I could see them sitting around like kind of the same attitude that was in the piece. Like I could see them sitting around having drinks and being like, hey, wouldn't it be funny if we did a show together? Like, that would be funny.
Well, I like how you've brought the Stephen Merritt context to me for this, because, like, I didn't, like, when I read the bill or the headline, right, I was like, who's Stephen Merritt? Like, I just want to go see the dancers. Like, I wasn't even thinking about the music. It's like, I want to see Silas Reiner and Rashawn Mitchell, who are Merce Cunningham or former Merce Cunningham dancers, so I didn't even think about the music. And so for me, I was really delightfully surprised by the simplicity and heart and sweetness of Stephen Merritt's little ukulele ballads and sort of troubadour-esque stories that he sang.
Using the entire orchestra.
He was. I remember seeing him when he got out, and when he came out on stage, I'm like, who is this man? And I didn't know who Stephen Merritt was. And here's this kind of portly guy in pajamas. Sort of looking like an elf a little bit.
Yeah.
And then they bring out a stool for him, and he gets up on like this lowered rafter, and he sits on it, and he pulls and they hand him a little ukulele.
Yeah. You know what it made me think about was like how being successful at your art like justifies doing otherwise really like socially not approved things. I was like, what if Stephen Merritt weren't famous? Like, would his wife tolerate him, like, walking around? I don't even know if he's married or anything like that. Like, walking around in his pajamas, like, singing really weird songs on the ukulele, or would she get really tired of his shit? Like, but he's Stephen Merritt, so whatever he wants to do is okay.
Yeah, and
I don't know. I've been thinking a lot about that because, like, it's the whole, like, going into adulthood and being anxious about, like, what you're doing with your life. All the stuff that's, like, so encouraged when you're a kid is suddenly not encouraged when you're an adult.
Yeah.
When you look like Stephen Merritt.
When you look like Stephen Merritt. But yet there was, like, this childlike, playful quality to the performance.
Well, there was this one scene where one of the dancers was lying on the floor and he kind of started doing the worm except without any hand motions. And then there was a female dancer and she would get on her back and just like shake her legs around. And like this other dancer was standing on top of her and was like very loosely swinging his arms over top of his face. And it was like the kind of motions that you do when you're a kid when like there's no point to them whatsoever other than just enjoying the way that your body's moving and that it's kind of funny and silly that you can like, I don't know, be humorous just with the way that you're moving.
And Rashawn like started off the piece, Rashawn Mitchell started off the piece by cartwheeling in onto the stage.
The numbers came across as if they were spontaneous, even though they weren't.
Mm-hmm.
But it had the sense that the dancers were playing around with what a certain movement might feel like.
Yeah, playing around with movement and playing around with the set, which was so delightful. The movement was tactilely delightful. 'Cause they were touching the gold leaf flakes and sort of dancing through them. And then that octopus ribbon jellyfish construction, when it rose up, when that finally rose up.
Yeah.
And those ribbons were hanging down.
Yeah.
And they were really, like, playing with it. Like, one moment, Silas was, like, waving it. And then there was another moment when one of the women, she was, like, playing it as if it were a harp.
Yeah.
And that whole Mermaid of Barcelona bit was so entwined with the jellyfish installation.
That was very nice. Yeah, I think that was probably my favorite number, just to describe it.
So Stephen Merritt started to sing this song on the ukulele. The mermaids of Barcelona, like very like Spanish sort of like vibrato-y ballad-like phrase.
Yeah.
And then it was sort of like wives tale, like a fisherman wives tale.
Yeah, so the story was like there are these two mermaids in Barcelona and everybody was really impressed by how beautiful and kind of magical and in love with each other they were. Something happened to one of the mermaids and I think like one of them wound up alone.
Oh.
Yeah. At least that's what I got from it. Like, it seemed like they sort of, like, died from despair. The mermaid piece, like, to me almost seemed like kids thinking about what love might be like when they're adults.
Mm-hmm.
If we're going off of this theme of, like, they were kids sort of imagining what adulthood might be like, I just had this thought when, like, the mermaid died from despair. I was like, ugh. How immature. I was like, get over it. If you have that sort of really passionate approach to life, does it necessitate your dying if it's taken away?
Oh, if your creativity is taken away, does it necessitate your dying?
Yeah,
your like metaphorical death.
Yeah, does it necessitate you actually passing away from despair? Like, is there is carrying on like and like becoming more mature kind of like a small death of like the passion that made you want to do it in the first place?
You know, that's a really good question, because especially as emerging or anyone who aspires to kind of a creative life or is aspiring to be an artist, like, I think that's a question that many artists have to ask themselves at one point or another in their careers. And I think so, especially when they're first starting out. And it's an interesting question, I think, for Silas Reiner and Rashawn Mitchell to pose is like at this point in their careers, they've become pretty established. They've gained a reputation for themselves, and they were working with Merce Cunningham, and of course that gave them a really good foundation in the dance world. Mm-hmm. But now they're starting to embark on their choreographic journeys,
yeah.
creating their own work and maybe like stepping out of the shadow of a, you know, huge choreographic legend and mm-hmm. an icon like Merce Cunningham. Like, they are coming out of that tradition, and maybe this is a way for them to be like, what can we do? Like, how can we experiment? You know, how can we be sort of like the next generation of choreographers and artists?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think this piece performance sort of posed that question, is like, what's the next phase of their sort of choreographic journey and development? Yeah.
And also, like, what if it doesn't work out quite the way that we want it to? What if a performance doesn't come up to our expectations of it? How do you continue to access that initial, like, thrust and conviction that this
yeah.
is what you have to do because it's, you can't stop dancing in your soul, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't know. Yeah, I saw the entire thing, like, the more we talk about it, as like a real, like homage and praise, like, not only to childhood, but to like the energy that moves it.
Yeah, and like kind of going back to that first creative act, like what mm-hmm. what it initially inspired you,
and that like makes you think that like, this is the only thing I want to do with my life, and it's perfect, and like nothing else will do, and if it doesn't work out, I will curl up under this seaweed and like pass away from despair.
This was fun.
This was a good conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We went all around the world.
I know.
And all around LA.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank
Alrighty.
You so much for the ride and for the good conversation and the ticket and everything else.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank yeah. you for joining us on the drive home.
You are welcome. It was my pleasure.
All right.
All right.
That's all for The Drive Home. Special thanks to my mom, Susan Campodonico, for driving. Until next time we take to the road, I'm Christina Campodonico.